Chapter 27, On Parole. I was wakened, indeed we were all wakened, for I could see even the sentinel shake himself together from where he had fallen against the doorpost, by a clear, hearty voice hailing us from the margin of the wood. "Blockhouse ahoy," it cried, "here's the doctor." And the doctor it was. Although I was glad to hear the sound, yet my gladness was not without admixture. I remembered with confusion my insubordinate and stealthy conduct, and when I saw where it had brought me, among what companions and surrounded by what dangers, I felt ashamed to look him in the face. He must have risen in the dark, for the day had hardly come, and when I ran to a loophole and looked out, I saw him standing, like silver once before, up to the mid-leg in creeping vapor. "You, doctor, top of the morning to you, sir," cried Silver, broad awake and beaming with good nature in a moment. "Bright and early, to be sure. It's the early bird, as the saying goes, that gets the rations. George, shake up your timbers and help Dr. Livesey over the side. All's doing well, your patients are. All's well and merry." So he pattered on, standing on the hilltop, with his crutch under his elbow and one hand upon the side of the log house, quite the old John in voice, manner, and expression. "We've quite a surprise for you, too, sir," he continued. "We've a little stranger here. A new boarder and lodger, and looking fit and taut as a fiddle. Slept right alongside of John. Stem to stem we was, all night." Dr. Livesey was by this time across the stockade and pretty near the cook, and I could hear the alteration in his voice as he said, "Not Jim?" "The very same Jim as ever was," says Silver. The doctor stopped outright, although he did not speak, and it was some seconds before he seemed able to move on. "Well," he said at last, "duty first and pleasure afterwards, as you might have said yourself. Let us overhaul these patients of yours." A moment afterwards he had entered the blockhouse, and with one grim nod to me, proceeded with his work among the sick. He seemed under no apprehension, though he must have known that his life among these treacherous demons depended on a hair, and he rattled on to his patients as if he were paying an ordinary professional visit in a quiet English family. His manner, I suppose, reacted on the men, for they behaved to him as if nothing had occurred, as if he were still ship's doctor, and they still faithful hands before the mast. "You are doing well, my friend," he said to the fellow with the bandaged head, "and if ever any person had a close shave, it was you. Your head must be as hard as iron. Well, George, how goes it? You're a pretty color, certainly. Why, your liver, man, is upside down. Did you take that medicine? Did you take that medicine, men?" "Aye, sir, he took it, sure enough," returned Morgan. "Because, you see, since I am mutineer's doctor, or prison doctor, as I prefer to call it," says Dr. Livesey, in his pleasantest way, "I make it a point of honor not to lose a man for King George and the gallows." The rogues looked at each other, but swallowed the thrust in silence. "Well," said the doctor, after he had dosed them round and they had taken his prescriptions with really laughable humility, more like schoolchildren than blood-guilty mutineers and pirates. "Well, that's done for today. And now I should wish to have a talk with that boy, please." And he nodded his head in my direction carelessly. George Merry was at the door, spitting and spluttering over some bad-tasting medicine, but at the first word of the doctor's proposal, he swung round with a deep flush and cried, "No!" and swore. Silver struck the barrel with his open hand. "Silence!" he roared, and looked about him positively like a lion. "Doctor," he went on, in his usual tone, "I was thinking of that, knowing how you had a fancy for the boy. We're all humbly grateful for your kindness, and, as you see, put faith in you and take the drugs down like that much grog, and I've found a way that'll suit us all. Hawkins, will you give me your word of honor, as a young gentleman, for a young gentleman you are, although poor-born, your word of honor not to slip your cable?" I readily gave the pledge required. "Then, doctor," said Silver, "you just step outside of that stockade, and once you're there, I'll bring the boy down on the inside, and I reckon you can talk through the spars. Good day to you, sir, and all our duties to the squire and Captain Smollett." The explosion of disapproval, which nothing but Silver's black looks had restrained, broke out immediately as soon as the doctor had left the house. Silver was roundly accused of playing double, of trying to make a separate peace for himself, of sacrificing the interests of his accomplices and victims, and in one word, of the identical exact thing that he was doing, It seemed to me so obvious in this case that I could not imagine how he was to turn their anger. But he was twice the man the rest were, and last night's victory had given him a huge preponderance on their minds. He called them all fools and dolts you can imagine, and said it was necessary I should talk to the doctor.